I am on the road building this new hour. This weekend, I am in Spokane, Washington at Spokane Comedy Club. I'm in Portland, Maine, September 10th through the 12th at Empire Comedy Club. The early shows are sold out, but we still have late shows with tickets available. Those are at dansutter.com. And then if you're in Hartford, Connecticut, my birthplace, I will be there Thursday, September 17th, Friday, September 18th, and Saturday, September 19th. dansutter.com. They're going to be a lot of fun shows. Also, just go to my website. All the dates are there through the end of the year. And check out punchup.live. Got movie watch-alongs. You can also sign up for my mailing list so when I come to your city, you already know. And these little intros don't mean jack squat. Do you still hate Dan Snyder? As a Commanders fan?
Yeah, because based on everything that's been going on with how galvanized this city is, like the whole area, or as we say in Maryland, the area,
Baltimore, Maryland, that mid-Atlantic. Yeah, you guys are similar to a Philly.
Yeah, yeah,
a Philly, like yeah, don't go down there.
Yeah, it's a little like from where like Stavros is from to like an hour away.
Okay,
I'm an hour south of where he grew up.
So you clear the cloud.
Yeah, but it's a little like I've kind of lost it a little bit, but it's like the vowel sounds like instead of party, we would say potty.
Yeah.
I'm about to go to the potty at Dan's house.
People losing their accents to me is crazy because I grew up in Colorado where everyone's like, hello, how are you doing?
Yeah.
And then I see people. Katie is from Framingham, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And she does not have a Massachusetts accent. And then I saw an old video of her in her 20s, and she has an act, absolutely has a Massachusetts accent.
Sounded like Amy Poehler in one of those.
She's like, I'm going to go down at the end of the bar, having a drink.
Yeah.
And you're like, Jesus. So it's crazy to me that you like train your mouth not to, you know?
Yeah. And then in her defense, like she's a broadcaster.
Sure.
And then I'm a theater guy.
Yeah.
And where you're from is kind of, they would call that standard American dialect. Yeah, like,
broadcaster accent.
Yeah, stage standard. Yeah. And then if there's the lilt, like when 40 winters have besieged thy brow. Yeah,
the old timer.
Yeah, so it's a little different.
As a theater guy,
mm-hmm.
when Timothée Chalamet talks all that shit about, about the ballet
and opera
and opera. But that's like, those are your siblings.
He kind of fucked up his mom. He's from that. His mom is a ballet dancer. I think his sister was in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, so it was kind of weird that he said that, but like,
so he's just trying to get into a fight with his family.
Maybe.
And he ended up catching fucking everyone else by surprise.
Cause they're saying McConaughey was like, no, don't do it. No, he's trying to stop him.
Like, hey buddy, I don't think you should go down there.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll say fuck the ballet. What are they going to do? Kick me in the head.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Like I'm taking my girlfriend to the ballet in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So.
Down in NJ Pack
so
for her birthday.
So. It's a great date activity.
Yeah.
If you can get, theater is something you appreciate when you get older. Or for young kids, if you're a theater kid.
Theater nerd. I mean, like, I love stand up.
Sure.
And like, when I was a kid, you know, like Martin Lawrence was a god to me because he's from PG County.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'm from. And like, he.
Damn. So you had one of the guys from your neighborhood.
So it was like, I mean, he was much older than me.
Sure.
Like, you know, I remember my late great dad taking me to see You So Crazy in 94. So I would have been like 13, 14. Taking me to that, his album, Talking Shit, listening to it all the time, driving around, Paul Mooney, Def Comedy Jam. Watching that like cartoons, you know, like, so
I think a problem with the internet is that boys at 13 or 14 now are seeing Manosphere guys.
Yeah.
Who, when you're older, you realize are just either broken or insecure.
Mm-hmm.
They're never like happy.
Yeah.
They're not like, you know what I do? I go home and I enjoy myself. They're like, every moment I'm making wealth. Every moment I'm making sure that I take something fundamental and I turn it into gold and go, brother, relax.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, like when I was a kid, my first off the books job was cutting grass. Like I cut grass. My dad would edge up the lawn. And then
you take that money and you put it into a
baseball and football cards. That's like the best. All that.
I mean, but basically my point was that at 13 or 14, it was great that our manosphere was stand-up comedians because it was funny and they were like smart. So you're like the way that, what breaks my heart is the way that young guys right now are influenced by dipshits. They don't have like good comedy. They don't, well, they have like, that's why I love seeing Shane have like, my little cousin was like, do you know Shane Gillis? And you're like, yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you feed that. Tell your friends to go watch stand-up.
Right.
Watch something funny.
It's a weird thing because it's not weird, but it's interesting because I think back to being such a fan of Martin Lawrence and seeing that he was like a rock star. But then he also had that vulnerability where he would say, oh, I fucked up here. Well, that bit that he had, Crazy Deranged and You So Crazy, where he's like, oh, I'm kind of flawed. I'm not perfect, and I'm this way. I'm, you know, vulnerability.
Well, also, there was this ownership of kind of his actions, even in the sentence where he's like, it's my life. I'm going to talk about the way I see it.
Yeah.
And you're like, that is such a good thesis statement for Martin Lawrence, where he's just like, this is how I experience it, and I'm realizing I'm wrong.
Yeah.
What's interesting is there was like a lot of accountability in that kind of stand-up, where you're like, either like what I loved about Killing Them Softly is every joke there's like this accountability for somebody, whether it's like you know, getting high and asking the cops for directions, and he's like, you're on Third Street. There's all this like different stuff where when the Sesame Street starts because Chappelle's showing his nephew funny things on television,
right?
And he runs into Pepe Le Pew, and that's why it's so funny, because he goes, now I'm seeing it, and I'm like, what kind of fucking rapist is this guy? And you're like, it's so perfect because there is this like this humanity in it, and it isn't like easy, like this side does this and they're all wrong about this. It's like this like humanity thing of like, oh shit, that I loved turns out I might have been wrong about a lot of it. And I think that's a great lesson for teenagers to learn.
Right.
When you're like, you know, you don't have to drunk drive accident to have that moment. You just watch stand-up comedy and be like, oh, accountability. Maybe I can learn.
Yeah, and I think when you're from our generation, I think I'm a couple years older than you, like, but it's like you just kind of think about, God, where was I going with that?
I don't even know.
But...
We're talking about accountability.
But it's like you show like the human.
We can edit the fuck out of this.
Thank you. I was like,
No. He's so good. Yeah. Like,
you think about like your. It's a human experience, and like what I appreciate about your stand up is about it's autobiographical. It's not all of it, but
sure,
it's,
which does lend itself to feeling a little gay.
No,
it feels a little one man showy sometimes.
I think but I don't care about that. Yeah. But it's a taste thing for me,
for sure.
It's a taste thing.
Absolutely, I completely agree.
It's not funny. It's funny, no matter what it is. But for me, it's just like, oh, I kind of have an idea of who Dan is as a person.
Yeah, I love that about
you. It's just like after you leave stage, it's like, oh, I kind of understand who that dude is.
Yeah, I remember one of the first times ever being in a social situation with Bill Burr, and I'm a huge fan, and I was watching him, and I was just kind of like, oh yeah, you've informed me that this is how you are.
Yeah,
you know, I watched.
He's a nice dude.
Yeah, but I watched a guy that we both knew back in the day go up to him, and he was a little drunk, and Bill Burr, it was about to be the Celtics Lakers finals, and he was a Lakers fan, and he went up and he's like, my Lakers are going to beat your Celtics. And Bill Burr was like, who the fuck are you? And you're like, you had no previous information that was going to be his reaction.
I was in a situation like that with him one time where we were just talking about normal stuff,
sure,
kind of like sports stuff in the pocket, but not like, oh, it was just like, oh, I think this guy was who's your favorite, blah blah blah. And then another guy came in and just kind of ruined it and made him a little upset. and then when I was leaving the event, I was just like, good to see you, Burr. He's like, hey, man, sorry about that.
It's really funny. I really hulked out there.
Yeah.
You really do, like, hanging out with professional fighters, there has to be that thing where you're like, hey, you're getting them too riled up. Like a guy like Bill Murray, like, don't get him at, or like someone comes over with like Pacquiao and they're like throwing him. He's like, hey, he's gonna start throwing punches. He might fuck you up.
Yeah.
He might break your face. He might slip into fight mode and just fucking.
It's like, I'd do this for real.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you're trying to bust balls with Bill Burr. He might say something that really hurts your feelings. Like, where you go, I didn't even think about it like that.
Yeah.
That's the way you eat celery. It fucking bugs me. And they're like, oh God, well, now I can't eat celery ever again.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. I think the internet needs to be shut off. I think we need to take the giant switch just for like a year.
Touch some grass.
Everyone needs to chill out. If not, I mean, I think the easiest fix is outlawing social media.
For kids or just in general?
Everybody.
Everybody? I could see that.
I don't think humans are built for it. I think we're too jealous. I think we're too insecure. I think we're too angry. I think we're too fucking bored. That it's like, you know, Giannis Papas used to have this incredible bit about boredom and like how important it was just to like sit there because then you would think of things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I think about that bit once every 3 months where I'm just like, more boredom in this world and we'd just be, a lot more shit would be working better if people were like, oh yeah, I gotta fucking do that. Instead, because and I'm just as guilty as anybody. I'll catch myself scrolling where I'm like, what was I doing?
What was I thinking about? What's going on?
I'll like look and I'll be like, oh, I have like 15 minutes until I have to leave. And then there's a part of me, it's like, ooh, I get to scroll. Yeah. And then I start scrolling and I look up and it's 20 minutes later and I'm mad. I'm like mad about shit.
Waste of time.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm reading articles that, by the way, check one source. Most of the time, they're not even real.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy.
What, like some random people think about Zendaya and the drama.
Or the new Spider-Man trailer. And you're just like, oh, fuck, I'm in here in the comment section watching people battle it out. Sometimes, and it's doing nothing for me.
Sometimes it's fun, though. I'm not going to act like I'm above it because like my algorithm is...
What's popping up now on your algorithm?
God, sneakers, video games, celebrity gossip.
That's fun. I'm getting a Chinese lady that sings.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen her.
No, is it like a voice thing, like where this lady is good or
no, dude? I'm gonna tell you right now, this is exactly what I want out of the internet.
Okay.
It's a lady in China. Just got a fucking iPhone
and just singing.
And just here, I'll show it to you.
She make you cry.
Nah, dude, it's what's
like
here?
No, not cry like, oh, this is
I got some
cry
of those.
Like
I got
beautiful.
Some of those. No, this is just straight like,
oh, she can just say, okay.
It's just a bop, dude. She's just got it.
All right.
This lady just, she just knows what she's doing. Let me play her for
you. What
kind
of stuff is she singing?
Huh?
All right.
I'll run it right back. You think I won't run it right back on it?
Somebody's got to chop that up.
Oh, no, no. Oh yeah. Something. I mean, people do like. Did you ever see that guy that on TikTok would sing where he'd be like, today I look like the prince of the jungle. You ever see him?
No.
Where he'd go like, 40, 50, 60, 70. Haha, yeah. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, today. Like a prince of the jungle, I will rescue the princess lost in the forest. Yeah.
No, I thought you were gonna show me like some Asian dude or somebody in the Philippines that sings like on some like singing the shit out of D'Angelo or something.
Now that is what I do have is in my algorithm is Filipinos doing Creed.
Okay.
Because there's guys in there. Fuck, I wish I could find it. I might have it saved. But there's one where he's just, I mean, they fucking can nail Creed. I guarantee I have one of these saved.
All right.
Do you watch that? Is that come up on your feed? Is like, because I mute anything that I'm like, this is really bumming me out.
I'm kind of like I used to do radio in college. And so I like a good like R&B.
Yeah.
Like a mellow, like a jam, like a mid-tempo jam.
Yeah, so you're trying to watch, like I, everything that I have right now is just stuff that makes me go like, yeah.
So it feeds me stuff, so I just make a playlist on Apple Music and just like, if I like it, I'll just dump it in there and then while I'm driving or something, I'll do a shuffle.
Yeah, that's the way to go because all my shit I'm looking at that I have saved is either like old Norm MacDonald clips.
Okay.
But I'm trying to find... Also, there's one where there's people trying to learn Mandarin in reverse. Oh. Where like trying to say hippopotamus.
Oh shit!
Hippopotamus. But then there's like other. It's like the other way where you're like where people. We'll probably edit that part out.
Yeah, that's.
But I get fed like these girls, these twins.
I've seen them before.
Lip syncing videos. It's all I want on my feed is just like shit that I like.
Something's funny. Yeah. It's cool, chill. Recipes.
Yes.
I'll send stuff to my girlfriend. We should make this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I there's people that like you'll start to follow that there's like a I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Of course.
There's a father daughter duo and she's deaf and he signs, he does ASL and then she's like really big into wrestling and he took her to WrestleMania and she's really cool. You like see her and she like loves it. Yeah. And that's the kind of shit I showed Katie. And I was like, this is like the heartwarming shit that the internet can provide.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you can see your algorithm if you're having a bad month trickle into shit. And you're like, why is this coming up? What the fuck's going on?
Yeah. Did you watch the Hulk doc yet?
I watched the first episode. You're on three?
Yeah. I just finished three.
It's four?
Yeah.
I'll get there by the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
Because I've only watched episode one, I don't have enough sample sizing to know if it's a puff piece or not, because I think it's going to be, but also because it's produced by the WWE, so they don't really want to hit the shit. But the thing that was surprising me in episode one of the Hulk Hogan documentary was Bret Hart talking shit.
Yeah.
Where he was just like, dude, all he could do was a bear hug. All he could do was a bear hug. He wasn't shit. And then he's like, his promo is 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And so he was giving him compliments. So I only watched episode one.
I won't say anything. That's
the rise. Yeah. So it's hard not for it to look like a puff piece when they're doing the ascension, creating the character, Hulkamania 3, WrestleMania 3, Hulkamania running wild. I'm interested to see what it looks like by episode three.
Yeah, I won't spoil it.
As a black guy, how do you feel about watching that?
Well, it's a part of the 80s, and when I was a kid, I did watch. I liked him.
Were you a Hulkamaniac when you were a kid, or were you Ultimate Warrior kid?
I like Hulk. I mean, I remember those. Is that the Galoob one?
No, Galoob was WCW, the little rubber ones.
Which ones were the big rubber?
This is JL. This is that. Okay. They're called like J... Fuck, what are they called?
I had the
wrestling fans at home were like, it's JBG.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. The Galoob were the size of the Hasbro.
Okay.
But they were rubber and they were all WCW. Okay. I really know my wrestling figures.
Because there was something.
I'm pretty lame.
No, I can blame Greg Stone for the.
Shout out.
Shout out to Greg Stone for getting me addicted into action figures.
Great. It's very fun. Yeah, he's addicted.
And then I got Transformers, and those are even more.
That's what I... But wrestling for me, it was either X-Men, but it peaked for me with Hasbro WWF.
Okay.
That was like probably my main shit that I was like...
Yeah.
That was some shit that if you ran it, bumped into 10-year-old me, I could talk about Hasbro WWF figures for like 7 hours.
Okay.
I could be like, there was a series where there was an Owen Hart. He was supposed to come out as a high energy Owen Hart?
Wow.
Was he supposed to come out as
what was it like for you? Because I don't know if anybody from my generation if I've ever talked about this on a podcast, really. What was it like for you going to Toys R Us as a kid?
Dopamine hit. It's the reason I'm an alcoholic.
Okay.
Yeah, the only feeling that comes close to walking into a Toys R Us as an adult is going into a bar to get blackout drunk.
Oh. You wouldn't say going into a comedy club or a theater to rock
fuck
out?
That. Nah, man.
No?
Nah,
okay.
Fuck that. Toys R Us to me was like, I need that dopamine hit. I need a big one of it. Dude, I mean, Toys R Us. See, I'm a child of divorce, and my dad used action figures as currency.
Okay.
So I had a Christmas where he gave me 100 Toys R Us bucks.
Oh, shit.
And damn near made me shit come. my balls dropped. Yeah, my balls dropped that day, dude. It was crazy. He was like, we were visiting my great uncle in like Orange County.
Okay.
So my mom and my grandma and my dad came down from the Bay Area. I met him in Orange County, and my dad was like, it was Christmas. And he's just a shitty dad, so he didn't buy me Christmas gifts. But he had cash, and he was like, I got you 100 toys. Which? You're giving me $100 and I get to pick?
Yeah.
Versus what you gave me? At 7 or 8 years old, that's not a difference to me. That's like, this is unbelievable. You know what I dropped 40 of the $60 on, or 60 of the 100 on? Starting lineups.
I love those, dude.
I bought so many starting lineups. Yeah. I bought a Barry Sanders Lions, Joe Montana. I had a fucking Lawrence Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I had just like unbelievable, because to me, they were sports action figures.
Of course they were.
So I was like, and the helmet came off and on. And they're like, and my dad was like, don't open those. Those will be worth money, as he's saying. Like, I got the Deion Sanders Falcon one out.
Yeah.
So I loved it. So like, that's the closest I've ever felt, is doing drugs. Maybe getting pussy is close to Toys R Us. Yeah, like when you know like where it. You go, like, oh, fuck, I'm about to get some pussy. You're like, this feels like Toys R Us.
I feel bad for
kids. I'm going to fuck that giraffe.
Yeah, because you just go to Target or Walmart. It's so sterile.
It's so sterile.
Yeah.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
I have this, like, Pavlovian reaction. If you live in Aurora, Colorado, by the Aurora Mall, there is Highway 225 okay. in Mississippi, right? Mississippi's the cross street, 225. There used to be, that's where Toys R Us used to be,
mm-hmm.
on this corner. And it's now a storage place. And every time I'm driving to my mom's house from the airport on 225, I look hoping it's going to be a Toys R Us again. And it's not. No. It's still a storage unit place. And you're like, that was the place when I was driving by and I would see those. Ah, dude, it'd make me want to do my chores.
Yeah.
It would make me want to fucking get good grades.
Yeah.
It would make me, I would be like, I'm trying to go to Toys R Us. My stepdad would take me. Oh, my God.
The ceremony of it, because you'd be in, I would be in school and I would be thinking about yes. my going yes. at the end of the day.
Yes.
And as a child, I was not as big as I was then, but like as a big kid, you'd go to the store and you get the toy and your dad would be like, you want to go to McDonald's? No.
Yeah.
Go no, right I just want to go play the game or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the ceremony, maybe you can remember this. You're a gamer when you were a kid, right?
Yeah.
The ceremony of you go to this, you go, say it's NBA Live.
Sure.
Oh, no. When we were kids, Bulls versus Lakers, Bulls versus Blazers.
It was NBA Live, though, too. It was NBA Jam 95. Ushered in that.
So I was like 15 when I was in high school. By
I was playing NBA Live in 95.
Okay. Yeah, I was, too.
Yeah.
Genesis or Nintendo?
Genesis.
Yeah, Genesis. Nintendo.
Yeah, I went Genesis, then N64.
Yeah, okay.
That was the big jump.
Okay.
And then PS2.
Right, yeah.
So I never fucked with PlayStation 1.
Oh.
I mean, I did when I'd go to my friend's house.
Yeah.
But I never had it. I went Genesis 64, and then I had two jobs in high school, so I bought a PS2.
My first on-the-books job was what used to be a Six Flags.
Okay.
It was a great adventure, but that's when I got my PlayStation. My dad worked at Sears, so we got the discount. So, but...
See how much more... Listen, billionaires that are draining all our money, see what you can make... Fun commerce can be yeah. fun. It doesn't feel lay on your bed and just click and then it shows up right. in your house. That is cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. But the idea of you sitting in class being like,
I'm gonna get this.
Here's what moves I'm gonna make. And I mean, dude, that's how I spent my allowance.
Yeah, me too.
My mom was always like, I'd call them guys. If you want a guy,
yeah,
you gotta save up.
Do you remember the game, when you get a game at Toys R Us, you see, like, say it's like the NBA sure. Live, and it's the ticket. You yes. get the ticket.
Yeah.
Your mom pays for it.
And then they
go in that little cubby.
Yeah. And you'd see him open it. To me, that was the first time I thought about robbing a place. Because you see him open the thing, and it's you all see all the games, and it's like amazing. The opening of the vault, where you're like, everybody get the fuck down on the ground. Like a little kid. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I'm capable of. Put all the NBA 95s in the fucking bag. You know what it was? And older millennials and, yeah. and Gen Xers will remember this. The sliding glass door, the automatic door, you walk in and you get past the shopping carts and you're like, get all the baby stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
But I would hit that action figure aisle and it was like, boom, boom. Going through stuff. Knocking it over, learning how to hook back on.
Yeah.
All of it. The entire dance of Toys R Us. And the best part was when you thought they didn't have what you wanted, and then you went down like, and then you would just find the toy in the back, and you're like,
you
were like yeah. afraid someone was going to steal it from you.
Did you ever hide toys?
Yeah, to come
yeah.
back?
Yeah.
100%. 100%. Wolverine Series 2 of X-Men. I fucking climbed up and put them up in like Barbie section and shit.
Oh, wow. Because
I knew, like my stepdad did this really smart thing. Now, here's my question. Did you ever fuck with KB toys?
Hell yeah.
KB was, if you were a real yeah. action figurehead, what you would do is you'd spend a majority of your money at Toys R Us, but then you'd go to the poor mall. Shout out Buckingham Square.
Poor mall.
You go to Buckingham Square and you'd go to the KBs and you'd be like, oh, they got a whole different, because it was different companies.
Yeah.
Now you know how capitalism works. You know that like Hasbro and them had to deal with Toys R Us while Gloob yeah. had to deal with KB. Yeah. So you could buy the WCW guys.
I didn't know all that.
I knew that. And I recognized that. I recognized that pattern when I was a young kid. I was oh, you can only buy WCW toys at KB. And I remember I wanted, there was a tag team called Doom. It was Butch Reed and Ron Simmons in WCW.
I tapped out around like nine. Oh, God. I'm trying, because when I was looking at that doc and what was that, WrestleMania? I don't even remember, but I was just like around 94.
Yeah, it was 11.
I was into like football, basketball cards.
I mean, great year.
More into like music.
Yeah, last year 49ers won the Super Bowl, 94.
Yeah, and I...
You know what that is? That's like you graduating. Because what happened with me is I liked wrestling, but wrestling matured with me perfectly, where it became the Attitude Era. Because of ECW, they started showing tits and ass, and I was pubescent. So I was like, oh, this is a one-stop shop for me.
Yeah,
I can still like wrestling, and it's not gay. Yeah. I'm not gay no more. I like Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
I love Lita, 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 Lita.
Oh, my God.
I'm not gay no more. That's how it felt when the Attitude Era hit. You're like, dude, I'm fucking showing like Sable. Oh, my God. Yeah,
they're hot. I mean, I just.
It was awesome.
I think I stopped playing sports. Because when high school came, my dad, because around that time, I switched junior high schools. I switched schools. And the big thing was like the theater.
Really?
And like if you were in the drama club, you got to go to Busch Gardens Williamsburg.
That's pretty big.
And I'd never been. We'd go to King's Dominion, Wild World, Adventure World, what used to be. And I secretly, I had a reverence of the theater or like wanted to do it but was afraid.
What got you into it?
Busch Gardens Williamsburg.
You should go there and watch plays.
No, so what got me in the theater, well, we used to go, I went to... school, the Catholic school in DC from preschool to sixth grade.
Okay.
And then like we would go to plays, go to Smithsonian museums and
damn, DC does have that shit better than anybody.
Yeah.
They're like, you want to go see a museum? Mm-hmm. Like we're in Denver and they're like, here's a dinosaur.
There's still like art stuff there, right? But not as what it used to be. Or?
The Denver Performing Arts Center is fucking incredible. Yeah. And my mom was a theater kid.
Yeah.
So my mom was very big on like, I'm going to take you to shows starting in sixth grade.
Yeah. And that's around the time. And we would do that stuff. And I liked that stuff. And then I remember the Busch Gardens Williamsburg, the play was The King and I.
Okay.
And I was kind of afraid to audition to play Anna's son, which is the lead woman's son. But I remember the audition. And the audition, you had to sing in front of everybody.
Can you sing?
Yeah. And I used to listen to like, so my dad and I driving around the car, Boys to Men, Coolie High Harmony.
Yeah, damn it, you can sing?
Listening to the radio.
Oh, man, that was some fun fucking R&B. That was a fun R&B era.
So I don't know if you remember.
A lot of harmonizing.
Do you remember this album, MTV Unplugged? Like, so Casey and JoJo singing that cover in Stevie Wonder's Lately.
Absolutely. This is after Jodeci broke up.
Yeah.
You have Casey and JoJo doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Fucking mammoth.
So
and they did it where like they did a great Unplugged.
So
Unplugged used to fucking rule.
Yeah,
you get put on to bands. This is why everything's broken now.
Right.
I guess Tiny Desk Concert was the one
carried it. Yeah.
But it was so much better because it was like done well and lit well and shot well and fucking they like had performance. Alice in Chains Unplugged is one of the greatest albums of all time.
So I studied that song. So Lately, they covered Lately. And so it would be JoJo would start off. He's Lately. And JoJo wore his hat, baseball cap, like straightforward.
Sure.
And then he gets to the part for KC to sing. He's like, KC singing.
Yeah.
I turned my hat backwards and started singing like KC. I knew.
Did you get the sitcom moment where everyone
the girls
went,
like the eighth grade girls that were super hot? They were like, "Oh my god!"
You know the moment where the live audience goes "Whoa!" on sitcoms, where it's like you just fucking taking it up a notch. Yeah. I love that.
So
shit.
That was like, and I was like, I was hooked. And then I played like the
damn. Did you get a girl from that?
Like, not at least from like, that, but okay. I did get a girl like. later on. But like it was like, and then eighth grade was The Sound of Music.
Okay.
So I don't know if you remember that show. I played Max, like the guy that got the Von Trapps out of escape. He got them away. Helped them escape the Germans, the Nazis. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he was fun. I had two songs. And I was like, it was like a handful of black kids in that school. Right. And like the black parents were like, they were looking at me like I was like fucking, I don't know, Sidney Poitier or something. And they were impressed. And my dad said, I think my dad unintentionally like kind of sparked that flame, because he was just like, all the parents were like, Chris was really good. The way you were singing and dancing, and I had to do announcements at the end of the show, and like we were awarding the director and everybody, and I remember playing baseball like that same year, and then I struck out. I remember striking out, and one of the parents, one of the black dads, was just like, "Hey man, that's all right, Hollywood. You'll be all right." Because he knew, he's like, "You're not a baseball player."
Oh, that's great.
He's like, "You're not."
That's a very important thing to have, because when you have a skill like that, you do go like, I am valuable in a way that isn't stereotypically high school.
I fought it.
Yeah. So this is what I was going to say, is like, good for you for even doing that, because I remember I got in trouble a lot because I just, I'm a loudmouth. I interrupt on this podcast. Nothing's fucking changed.
Still a great show. I think what your fans or listeners, they might say that, but I think it's because you're engaged and you're excited. I don't think it's of like any ill intent.
No, I don't think it's ill intent.
Yeah.
I think it's pure obliviousness and stupidity. but I used to always like get kicked out in school or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then my guidance, like, I almost failed eighth grade and had to repeat. And like, I remember they were like meeting with my mom and they were like, he's very funny. He should do theater. Mm-hmm. Like, you should put him where he can like exercise his creative imagination. And I remember being like, yo, that shit's gay as fuck. Get out of my face. Yeah. Like, I was like the kid that was like, because I was insecure. And I was so insecure that I was like, no, I'm fighting. I'm like clawing tooth and nail for my friend's respect. I don't have a dad. So I'm just like, nah. I'm not going to be mommy's little sissy fucking theater boy. Here's where I fucked up. I would have got so much pussy.
That's the
I
thing.
Would have like, gotten so much pussy in high school that I would have been like, yeah, guys, have fun getting CTE for a fucking 3-7 record.
Yeah.
I'm getting fucking.
No, I didn't.
You call me fucking ring pop, dude. I would have been fucking all over that place. Oh my God, dude. If I was in the theater, I would have been a fucking problem. I could have been in fucking choir. Oh, bo, 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 bo. And I'm like, no. Trisha's going to be at her boyfriend tonight. Oh, bo, 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 bo. And instead, I'm like playing outside linebacker, just getting ran over every practice.
Did you play against anybody that became famous?
A couple guys that went to the NFL. I mean, the most famous person that I played with was Mike McDaniel.
Okay.
He was just my friend.
Yeah.
He was just an undersized wide receiver who had hands and could run routes like a motherfucker. So don't come at him. And it's not the guy from the internet that everyone thinks, where they're like, McDaniel looks clean, and it's that white guy in the rain running routes. I don't know if that comes across your feed, where they're like, no pads. They're just like running routes in the rain. And they're like, yo, Dolphins, Mike McDaniel running routes. And you're like, that's not him. But he ran clean ass routes.
Well, I know about that. Like, you wouldn't appreciate this. Julian Peterson is my cousin.
He's really?
Like his mom and my mom grew up together.
Julian Peterson is one of the, like, I mean, Julian Peterson is a fucking,
he's a monster.
Number 98
on the
49ers.
He taught me how to play Tecmo Bowl.
That's crazy.
The very first Tecmo Bowl.
Him going to the Seahawks was one of my biggest heartbreaks.
Yeah.
Because Julian Peterson was a 49er when they sucked. Where'd he go? Michigan State?
Michigan State. He was like JUCO. Then, and when he,
shout out. Dude, I still got that shit under that layer of resin. I know where the 49ers all went.
Yeah.
That's my autism.
Yeah.
I have 49ers autism, dude.
No, I get it.
Julian Peterson's the fucking man.
He's a monster.
He was a badass. He was that, you know what he was? He was that like.
The hoop too.
Yeah. Played basketball at Michigan State. But he was that archetype of long and fast being an edge setter. Which like redefined the NFL. It was Javon Curse was the first one out of Florida, and then he did it with the Titans.
Yeah.
But then you watch Julian Peterson come out of Michigan State and end up on the 49ers. When we had those shadowed numbers, in those dark gold pants. Mm-hmm. Ah, dude, 49, that 49ers fit was bring those back. But I love that dude. Yeah. So he was your. So did you play football?
I did as a kid, but like I kind of got burnt out. My dad wanted it more than I did.
It'll burn out any kid.
And I think, my dad, to his credit, you know, when you're a kid, you think your parents are superheroes, and then when you get older, you're just like, oh, that was just a guy.
That's what
trying to figure
is.
Shit out.
You know, what's funny is. That's how the Hogan doc feels.
Yeah.
Where you go, I remember that moment of thinking you're a superhero, and now I'm watching you, and I'm like, oh, you're like an old guy with a... Yeah.
But then when you realize, because he was just a guy, my dad was pretty fucking remarkable.
Great.
So I miss him every day.
Yeah.
But he would say, it's kind of like a sitcom dad in a lot of ways. He said, yeah, maybe I did push you a little bit hard. Yeah, because he was like, I kind of wanted it.
Well, you were a bigger dude.
Yeah.
You have a dad there that wants you to play football. Yeah, Those are two big things.
So I was a big kid, and I was in fifth or sixth grade playing against eighth graders on my team. And there was one kid that would always like give me trouble, and we got into a fight in practice, and they tried to break it up. And my dad was like, no. Let him go.
Yeah, let him get that
and
dog.
I whipped his ass.
That's great.
But, you know, but it was, just, but he, my dad was like, no.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is, you know, what's funny is like, I was the inverse of your dad. I didn't have a dad and I wanted it more than he did.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, dad, I'm still playing football. He's like, all right, how do you have my number? And you're like, I don't know. I'm just like trying real hard out here. I wear number 42. I'm fucking good. He's like, okay, I'm going to go get drunk.
But to your point about like being insecure about the theater stuff, and you would have been great at it.
I think I would have had a very good fucking time, and I enjoy theater.
And it's like,
I can't sing, but
I'd like to think I would be like a marginal college athlete, maybe did it a couple years in pro, have a dealership or something.
Oh, dude.
The kid that hates me.
Dealership, you got to have a conference title.
But to your point, we're of the age where, yeah, that was kind, people did consider that gay. And then like maybe around 2003, when I was in grad school, I was in Chicago.
Yeah.
I was in grad school and I was teaching during the summer at a theater camp. Around that time, High School Musical was out.
Oh, I bet that shit blew it up.
So it was just like everybody, it was okay. Yeah. And now they're doing national theater competitions where gay, straight, everybody's doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it is one of those things where you're kind of so stupid as a kid that you just follow what the brightest light is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love football. I still love football a lot, but I knew I wasn't good second I played freshman football, I was like, damn. But the thing that I loved about it was the camaraderie.
Yeah.
And I could hit people really hard. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun. Right. I was getting hit really hard at home. So it was nice to hit people really hard on the football field.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at least you could give it back a little. But, I mean, I'm just kidding. I wasn't getting hit. I was getting yelled at. I was getting verbally hit. I got hit, but I didn't get hit all the time. But football to me was just something where it was like, that's where I knew I was funny.
Yeah.
Because I can make all those guys laugh. I was making like seniors laugh when I was a sophomore. And you're like, oh shit.
Do this.
You're like, damn.
Do you remember a bit? Like just like anything you said that you're like, fuck, I kind of.
I remember I used to like, very random, but I used to, when I would lace my cleats, I would like make fun of techno and I'd be like lacing up my cleats and I'd be like, or putting my pads in my pants, and I'd be like, I want to see some boobies. I want to see some boobies. I want to see some boobies. And like, they'd be like, yo, what the fuck? But then they would like start singing it along, and we'd be like, just like joking around, and I'd be like, boop, 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 I want to see some boobies. And they like, I was silly. Yeah. And then like, and they thought it was like, it was pure silliness.
Sure.
So you just have like a silly goose outbreak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then like, I would blow cover two. And someone would pick up a 15-yard gain on a slant.
Remember I made you laugh in the locker room?
That I made my best friend laugh. He was like a 3-year letter. He was like our captain, starting left guard. Shout out, Garapay. He's still one of my best friends. he was really good at football. Mm-hmm. He was like really, he was like the kind of kid that freshman year you show up and you go, we're not the same age.
Yeah.
He was like doing bench press with like 225 pounds when we were like 14. And I was like, I was struggling to get the bar different. With like 2 10s on it. I was like, yeah.
They're me built different. Yeah.
Me and McDaniel were so small working out and Garrett Pace racking it. Dude, I remember he had a fucking 20, a 45 and a 35 on and he's just fucking banging out a set. And I'm like, there's zero chance we're both 14. Like, you're a fucking man. But he ended up becoming one of my best friends in our junior year. We were doing first team defense, first team offense scrimmage, like at the end of practice. And I was playing outside linebacker, and he was like, he was like, gonna pull. So he was like, I'm gonna come get you, Sauter. I'm coming to get you. And I had a cowboy collar, and I bumped it up with my helmet, and I went, you sound like a big choo-choo train from Waterboy, and he lost it. I just remember him losing it, like, him holding his three-point stance, being like, looking down at the ground, and I was like, you sound like a big choo-choo train, and I was standing comic, like Bobby Boucher, and it was just like, by the way, I think they probably got 7 yards on the sweep that play to my side. I didn't fucking check for a crack block, but... It was
God damn it, Sauter.
That's all I heard. The moment that makes him laugh the hardest, I think this is, and Shane fucking loves this moment, was I was on kickoff team. Mm-hmm. I was a special teamer and wedge buster. And I fucked up and we, in our second week, like led a kickoff return for a touchdown. So so our coach Anderson was like kicking people off the kickoff team.
Yeah.
And he kicked off most people and I thought I survived. And then he just gets to the end of the line and he goes, Sauter, you're off. And I go, it's Sauter. I walked out the kickoff team. Dude, to this day, two of my best friends, Chad and Danny think that is one of the funniest moments in our high school football career.
Get my name right.
Yeah. I was like, but I was so defeated.
Yeah.
I went, it's Sauter. Like walked off and they're like, oh shit. So I knew I was never going to be shit playing football, but I just loved all of it. I just loved playing it. I loved, like, even though I sucked, I was like, dude, let's do hitting drills. Let's play fucking 7v7.
Yeah.
And I also, at that time, like, I think when I could have gotten good at it, I got real into drugs.
That's not
good. And so that's like the other way you go. Where you go, you know what's cooler than playing Will linebacker? Getting stoned. But I was, because I had started smoking cigarettes when I was 12, I would quit for football every year.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I would.
See, that stuff was a deterrent for me because my dad used to drink. He stopped, and he stopped smoking.
Oh, that's big.
And then I had, like, because I remember I was like, Dad, why did you stop drinking? And he was like, well, I was supposed to build a swing set for you, and I overslept because I drank too much. And I was like, I probably.
Damn, your dad really did take shit account. Like, damn, I'm not even jealous you had a dad. I'm more jealous that he took accountability.
I'm
jealous that he was like, you know what? That was my bad. You're telling me he didn't gaslight you for 14 years of your life and then he fucking dies and you're left with it?
It's like that Louis bit where he's like, you get one good parent.
Yeah.
He's like one parent. My mom, I love my mom.
Sure.
Because I love her so much.
I'm alive because of my mom.
I was with her. I was with her this week. Like, I drove down to Maryland to take her to her doctor's appointment.
You're a good son.
She complains a lot. Then I took her to McDonald's, got her fish sandwich and an ice cream cone. She loved it.
Dude, I'll tell you right now, that fish, if you get a you get a filet.
Yeah.
I love it. Dude, I can't do it when I'm with Katie because she has too good of a sense of smell. But I'll fuck a
filet. Double filet up?
Not a double. I'll do a single with tartar sauce. But I'll do it as the second sandwich next to a Big Mac.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn, I might have to get McDonald's.
But it's like that parent that, like, pushes you.
Sure.
And he's like, you know, my dad used to say, he was like, you know, if you played football, girls will like you. And I was like, well, there's girls in the drama club. And
you were right.
And he was like, oh, okay, you're not gay.
All right.
Yeah. Because it's still from born in 1941.
Oh, dude, they were all, by the way, the boomers, they all did that check.
Yeah.
They all did the gay check. We want to care how fucking progressive your parents are now. They didn't vote for Trump. I don't give a fuck. In the 90s, they were doing a gay check.
You still have to say, kids. You can't say that.
Yeah.
Because that teacher of yours is you can't say that.
Yeah. I remember, I remember my mom was like, I was pretty young. She just caught me looking at a lady's tits, and she was like, yeah, you're fine. There wasn't even like, she was like, this kid, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
There is like a thing of, man, I'm going to think about that Toys R Us thing for a while. I really feel bad that kids don't have that.
It's so sterile. It's so cold. Like, even sometimes, like, looking into a Walmart and just, like, it's just,
yeah.
You order them online. Like, Greg was my pusher because, like, I was trying to.
Greg, by the way, he's been on the road with me, yeah. And he's been recently being like, I have to reform. I have two children, but he's getting them into Transformers.
Tell him I said hello.
I will.
Because
we'll see him tomorrow.
He's done my show a couple times, and like, because I was like, oh, it would be cool to get a Black Panther action figure.
Sure.
When the Civil War came out.
Sure.
And I could not find one. And then I remember one time getting a text from him at like 6 a.m, and he was like, it's right here on this link from the Hasbro site. And I got it. And I was like,
that was your plug.
Yeah. And then ever since then, it's been like,
did that give you a little Toys R Us nostalgia?
A little bit, like getting it. Cause that's the high now when they drop. It's just like sneakers or anything. Yeah. It's just like
that is how buying is, where it's like, it's unaffordable. And then you can't afford it. And then it is. And you're like, drug.
Yeah.
I love the drug. Well, that's what's awesome, I think, about kind of to echo what we were talking about how I was so insecure with, like the theater stuff.
Yeah.
When I moved to New York and started doing stand up, that was when I noticed that a lot of guys loved wrestling, played with action figures late in their life, had a lot of similarities where I was like, oh, so I can just be that. And they're like, yeah. That's why my bookcase, because there's people that come in here and they're like, was this your bookcase or whatever? And you go, it's probably a pretty accurate portrayal. And also, a lot of this is from fans. So it's, to me, like the coolest shit in the world. Yeah. If you told me I would have had a job where the makers of these new, like, Hasbro-style toys, I did a voiceover thing for them, and they sent me a box. I told Katie, they sent me a box of action figures, and I was like, I got to find kids to give them to.
Yeah.
But it was like, 10-year-old me was blown away. Yeah, you're like, well, you've made it. Yeah, I'm not fucking front page of the Hollywood Reporter. Who gives a fuck? No, I'm getting a box of fucking Legion of Doom and Steiner Brothers, like... Go check out Matt Classics. This isn't even a plug, but they do like Nerd Closet. They do like, there's like a bunch of guys that make cool shit.
Yeah. I like all that stuff. I mean, I'm a big fan of The Last of Us. I think that the games were incredible.
Can I tell you something that's going to make you very angry at me?
Let's see.
I played Last of Us Part 1.
Amazing.
It was during the pandemic, right before the pandemic. Stopped playing it for a little bit during the pandemic. Completely forgot where I was in the game. I was swimming, looking for something. Completely forgot the controls.
Sure.
Restarted it, played it, loved it.
Yeah.
Part 2 came out, got halfway, got to part 2 of part 2, like the middle when you're in Seattle.
Yes.
Stopped playing, forgot the controls. I'm going to have to run it back. I haven't finished it.
Well, didn't Katie finish it? Didn't she tweet about it?
Katie got it way before me.
She more of a gamer than you, or no?
Depends on which game.
She'll
go hard on a game and then get me to do it.
Okay.
She got me into God of War. Yeah, she got me into Last of Us. I got her into Ghost of Tsushima.
I just finished that.
It's fantastic. Did you play the second one?
I want it. I want to get it.
It's...
No?
Well, while you're riding the high of the first one, play the second one. Don't put too much time in between them. It's a very... A little bit of a letdown. Ghost of Yote was...
Because she's got more shit. Like, she's got
a gun.
She's
got cooler stuff. Cooler, you got a wolf. Yeah. You got cooler weapons.
Yeah.
You start with all your shit. I found Ghost of Tsushima to be a much better game.
Okay.
Front to back. Like, greater story, greater highlight. I liked Ghost of Yote.
Yeah.
Felt too much like... too much of like a quick... Have you ever played the game Sifu?
That's hard. Yeah.
Nah, dude. That's my shit.
You want...
Beat it, brother. I fucking stay in it.
Damn.
I've beat it on my system. I've beat it on my Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
I've unlocked most of the arenas.
We got to talk about that Steam Deck.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
If you travel and you play video games, owning a Steam Deck is necessary. He's got one.
Okay, really?
They are just like, you can get them modded. My mod crashed. So my buddy Joe, who works... at a comedy club, I won't say which one, but he helps me mod my Steam Deck and put on like Sega. I put on all Sega, Super Nintendo, N64, PlayStation 1, and then a bunch of PlayStation 2 games. I played like NBA Street Volume 2.
Oh, shit.
Def Jam Vendetta Fight for New York, which I'm probably going to replay this weekend. But there is like games where you can just go back and be like, oh, I remember I loved that game. Let me in the emulator usually works pretty great. Steam Deck is the shit. But Sifu is one of the best beat-em-up games of all time.
That stuff is tempting. I mean,
it's like, I think they're like, you can find them refurbished for like $300.
I love them all. When I was doing a play on Broadway a couple years ago, and I had a Nintendo Switch.
Great.
And I had Metroid Dread.
Great.
It was amazing. But now it's like, you can't use it anymore. Mm-hmm. Is it whack? Because like now the 2 is out. And nothing works.
That's what I mean. It's all like it's all a grab. Steam Deck. What's great about it is because I've never been a PC gamer.
Neither
those
have
are
I.
Real gamers.
Yeah,
those, and everyone knows that I'm a little console bitch.
I am too. I mean, it's nothing wrong with that.
This is the closest you'll get to being a PC gamer.
Okay,
because it's got the tech of PC games, so they can't really fuck with you on a lot of shit. So you can like the community's really big. They'll like tell you how to download stuff. It is. I mean, dude, I played Spider-Man.
Recent ones?
Yeah. 1 and 2 on
Steam. What'd you think of 2?
One of the best video games of all time.
Why does everybody hate that shit?
They're fucking smoking.
I thought it was fun.
They're smoking rocks of dickhead. Cause it's great. Wolverine's coming out this September.
Yeah. Oh, September.
Insomniac did, or not Insomniac, whoever did.
It was Insomniac.
Yeah, they did it. Same studio.
Yeah, I want the Bond. See, I'm
Bond is gonna be third person, right?
Yeah, that's what only things I like.
Earn the 007, you like earn the number in this one?
Yeah,
I only like do young. Third person. You're a third person guy,
I'm
too?
I'm only a third person
Me
guy.
Me too.
I can't do the, like that new game that's supposed to be hot with the, that's like the Mickey Mouse animation type shit. It's a shooter. Everybody's raving about it.
I haven't even seen that.
It's like all the, I forget the name of it, but people are going crazy over it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
The John Wick is coming out and that's third person.
That looks great. Yeah, I'm a third person.
By the way, if John Wick is even half of a good video game, third person, people keep asking me if I'm back.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm back.
I'm absolutely fucking.
For me, it's like, speaking of KB Toys, like the last memory of KB Toys was 96, my dad bringing Tomb Raider home to me. The very first
one. Yeah, in PlayStation 1, dude.
PlayStation 1.
Boxy-ass Lara Croft.
Boxy-ass Lara Croft. And then that big-ass dinosaur coming. It was like the biggest TV we had in the house was like a 32-inch at the time. And it was, I was like, oh, shit. It was amazing.
Are they completely gone? Last time I remember, and I'll tell you what, the only time in my life I've ever gotten political was when I found out that Mitt Romney owned the company.
Eidos?
That was a prominent American mall-based toy retailer. Out of business February 2009.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the company that...
Yeah, they liquidated them. And I think it was like some... But they had, dude.
Yeah, that game...
I mean, KB Toys was...
It was a shit. That brought me... Tomb Raider, that reboot in 2013 brought me back to gaming.
Yeah, it's interesting what games can bring you back in after a while.
Because before, like, it was just sports, right? Like, I'm just a sports
guy.
That
was me up until college. I played... I mean, I would play, like, Bond or Perfect Dark on 64.
Mm-hmm.
But, or, like, Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
PlayStation 2 got me a little bit, but then PS4 and PS5 have just completely gone into full gaming.
Yeah.
It's like adult, very adult gaming.
Because that college football game...
I still play it.
I'd like
you're going to leave here, and I'm not joking when I say I'm going to play UMass versus University of Washington in the playoffs. I've ran a 30-year dynasty.
How good are you? What level?
All-American.
Really?
Yeah, I don't play on Heisman.
I suck.
But I do sliders on All-American, so I up the AI on All-American.
I suck on varsity. I played one season with Colorado last year. I had bought 26 for cheap.
Oh, yeah?
I was trying to...
25, because 26 is the newest one.
I bought that for cheap, okay. And it was kicking my ass.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know.
I'm finishing a 30-year dynasty.
Jesus Christ.
And I think I have like 22 titles.
Wow.
Started at East Carolina, moved to Minnesota, moved to Colorado, moved to Syracuse, and then to UMass Amherst.
Okay.
Because Katie, I was like, Katie, Katie's in that room. I was like, how shitty is UMass? And she goes, they suck. And I went, I'm taking the head coaching job. And she's like, let's fucking go. And like, we're fucking UMass Minutemen. I can't even sell out a game and I'm a national champion there.
That's good to have a partner that's like that. Because yeah. I love my girlfriend, but we're like 9-10 months in as of this recording.
Okay, so it's new.
So yeah, so it's new, but like I downloaded that Marvel Cosmic.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
Sure.
The new He-Man I want when that comes out.
Oh, there's a video game?
It's a beat 'em up coming out next week, I think. 27th or something like that. For all, like, you know, like PlayStation, you could download it, you know.
Yo!
Masters of the Universe or something.
April 28th.
Okay, yeah.
For PC, Switch, PlayStation, Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Yo!
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
So I want to play that.
I'm a and Masters of the Universe is coming out.
Yeah, looks I think great. That's why. Yeah, it does look really good.
Dude, what a nostalgia trip. Yeah. I'm going to go open a Toys R Us. Chris Lambert's special, Killing in Obscurity, is on YouTube right now. The link is down below. Click it. He's fucking hilarious. I've known him forever. Watch his special and enjoy it. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, absolutely, always a pleasure.
And, man, let's go open that.
We should, man.
Let's go into business.
Yeah, let's do it.
When the internet shuts down, let's open a Toys R Us.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.